Well, good morning. We're excited that you're here today on this vacation weekend, this four-day weekend. It's obvious that everybody's on vacation today, and we hope that they're watching us wherever they're at this morning. I do want to make a brief announcement to all of our family in the Yucatan jungle, all you Mayans that are out there that are part of our family. You've been asking, where's our worship leader, our lead guitar player, especially the worship team? Some of you have asked us where Chris is. Chris is back in the sound room right now. He's had surgery on one wrist. He's going to have surgery on the other, and he'll be back sooner than later. Amen? And but that's why he's not on the platform. For those of you that don't know, because Chris is always trading guitars and stuff, they follow Chris because his guitars change so regularly down there. We also want to welcome our new family from the Philippines. It's good to have you with us today. It's a real special day. This was the first Sunday when we were getting ready to launch North Elevation Church that our launch team on this Sunday, 11 years ago, this is what's so cool, is 11 years ago on this exact date. This is the first time in the history of our church, 11 years, that we're actually falling on all the dates that were the same the year we launched. And this was the Sunday that we took our excited launch team, all 22 of us, and we did a walkthrough in the theater on this Sunday 11 years ago. So this morning as I woke up, there was a lot of memories flooding through my heart and mind of that day and what we were doing as we were trying to figure out how to do theater church. And for those of you who don't know, we moved to a place in knowing what to do that Cinemark Theater, the corporation, made us their model church in the United States. And so when people would move into their theaters, they had to contact us and talk to us first before Cinemark would even allow them to sign contracts. So that tells you how efficient our team came at doing theater church. So a lot of those memories, you know, that's a memorial stone. Those are those moments that you build stones and you point back to and say, you know what? We didn't know we were going to be in a theater, but look what God did. He made us the model for doing it throughout the nation for Cinemark Corporation. So God's done a lot of really unique things, special things for us here at North Elevation Church. So we begin our anniversary month today, and we're calling it anniversary month, and here's why. We've never done this before, but we've never had a building before. 10 years of portable, we're in a building, so we're going to celebrate all month with some unique messages. The video you just saw will come into full view next Sunday morning, so you don't want to miss next Sunday morning because that video is tied to that particular message and the one coming on the 26th when we actually celebrate our actual day of launching the church on the 26th. Now, I've pinned something about memorial stones, about looking back, but looking forward. And I pinned this week. We find in Scripture that in the days of Joshua, he had memory stones set in place to serve as a reminder to future generations of Israel's faith in God and God's faithfulness to them. The purpose of the memorial is to preserve a memory, not just to look back, but so future generations can see God is faithful and move forward. I found an old picture last night of one of our first services. We had so little money that the only people that you could see in the photograph were the people standing in the center of the platform. If you weren't in the center of the platform and you were playing instruments on the outside, nobody knew you were there. So look what God's done today. You know, so we remember, those are memorial stones. We remember what God did, how he got us in the theater, but those are just memories to remind us of the faithfulness of God who said, I'll give you a building, and he did. And so we want to talk about some of that. We're going to go back over 11 years ago, back to our beginning, before we look forward to the next 11 years in the future. We're going to go back a ways. God had poured a vision into me, and so it was time to make the big ask. If you've never been on this end and you're having to make the big ask, you know, you're asking people to come with you to go plant a church where nobody knows you and nobody's there to help you, it's a big ask. And I'm just going to track through a few things here real quickly. Jerry Gregg, who is now Elder Jerry, wherever he's at, here's how it happened with Elder Jerry. I showed up at his mom's house. He was over there doing some work for her. We were standing outside the garage. And so I shared the vision with him, handing him a tic-tac, and said, would you join us? That's all Jerry got was a tic-tac, and he said yes. and he joined us. James Withers, who's on our economic board, he's watching from home today. James came over to check on Rochelle and I because things, we just didn't know where we were going. We sold our house. We're in a rent house. We didn't know what God was going to do. We're walking away from a church we'd served in for 23 years, going to go plant a church. And James wanted to see if we were okay. So we gave James some, I think Rochelle fixed some brownies, and we gave him some brownies. We gave him some sweet tea, and then we made the ask, and he said, okay. So he got sweet tea and brownies. Jerry only got a Tic Tac. And he said, yes. Then we went to Gary and Eva's. They were living out there right here in the front. Gary and Eva were living in Justin, Texas at the time. And so we thought, well, let's go ask Gary and Eva. So we shared the vision with Gary and Eva, and man, they got super excited about the vision. I mean, Gary, I still see him sitting there on the sofa shaking. He said, we can do this. We can do this. How much money do you have? I said, $1,200. All we gave Gary was heartburn. Gary walked to the back of the house, and I'm watching him leaning over the sink, shaking his head. He told me, Larry said, I was going, what have I gotten myself into? $1,200, that's all we had. Look what God's done.
Yeah.
You know, God's good. So, you know, then we had the major big ask. This one went to a whole new level. The next ask was we were going to ask Tiffany and Colin to come with us. So we treated them a little bit different. We took them out to a restaurant and did something we never do. The Smithies don't do this. I mean, we didn't have the money to do it, but we were fixing to. We said, order whatever you want. That should have been the sign that the big ask was coming. So we said, order whatever you want. And so we made the ask.
That can
and here's
be dangerous,
the ask.
Just FYI.
Yeah. And this is the reason it was a big ask, bigger than what we were asking the first three. The first three was big, but we were going to ask them to not only get involved in the worship, but also do children's ministry. Tiffany was our very first kids pastor. And Colin and Tiff together, we're going to do youth. So we're making a major ask. Plus, we're asking you to drive over to a community you don't know anything about and help us get locked into the community. But we don't want you to just come. We want you to do three major things when you come. So we fed them, even dessert. I mean, we got through the dessert before we made the ask. And so, but let me lay a foundation of why we were making this ask. We have been researching church planting since 2000. Really thought we were going to plant sometime in the early 2000s. God had other plans. It didn't happen until 2010. But everybody told us do not have a youth program for 2 to 3 years. As we got deeper into the process of church planting, loud voices were in our ear. People who planted churches, people who had been successful in planting churches, were telling us, don't have a youth ministry. You wait at least 2 years or three. And here's where this was the reason, if you don't already know it. It costs money. They said, just focus on your children and adults and figure out the youth at a later time. Well, we couldn't do that because the very first verse of Scripture God gave me in pouring the vision into me, it was a foundational verse of Scripture, is in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, and it says, so speak encouraging words to one another. Build up hope so you'll all be together in this. Key words, no one left out, no one left behind. So, in the face of what people said was good counsel, even from people who were going to help us, ARC was going to help us, we were Church Plant 172 through ARC, ARC was going to help us, and they're screaming in our ears, do not have a youth ministry. And I screamed back, and I said, I'm sorry. If you need to disassociate yourself with us, that's okay. We are going to have a youth ministry from the start. So we were making a big ask with, even one of the largest church planting organizations at the time telling us, you're making a bad move here. But we were committed. And we see fruit setting right here today because of youth ministry. And she's getting ready to go to France and be a teacher. So God's been good, and we did the right thing. We obeyed God and had a youth ministry. So I've got questions for you. I haven't given you these questions up front, so you get to answer these as they come to you. You can be raw and real. you can get back at me for what happened that night. But first question, tell us about that moment when Pastor Rochelle and I made the ask for you to do these three things. And we'll start with you, Tiffany. You're welcome.
Well, I knew it was coming, honestly. Like he said, the Smithies don't tell you to order whatever you want on the menu unless, well, they don't do that at all. So, I knew it was coming, or suspected that y'all were going to ask us to do something. Be youth pastors, I wasn't, you know, really expecting that. But I was excited. I was a little nervous because I had only ever done children's ministry and been a Sunday school teacher and for like fifth graders and stuff like that. So I had never like worked with youth. So it was a little scary because our son at the time was only 8. So teenagers kind of scared me. They still do, but so but no, I was excited but a little nervous at the same time because I wasn't sure what to expect.
So there's a prerequisite to this. See, the ask wasn't at dinner. The ask, there was a little time before the ask because Corey is really good at making a phone call or shooting a text to somebody just to see what the weather's like before he makes an ask. And so what he did is he called Tiffany. Now, this is a Saturday, so I just got done mowing the lawn, and I'm in the shower, and I hear boom, 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 like running down the hallway. And the door to the bathroom flings open, and Tiffany's like, oh, you don't know, my daddy just called me. And if you know Tiffany, when she gets into my daddy, you know that something serious is about to happen. My daddy just called me. He wants us to be youth pastors. What do you think? And I'm sitting in that shower, and I turn to her, and I remember going, honey, no, I hate teenagers. Why in the world would we want to do that? But my daddy says we'll be good at this. I'm like, no, 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 this is ridiculous. I'm not doing youth ministry. And I remember her shutting the door, and I'm sitting there, and the water is just bouncing off my bald head. And I just remember saying, God, what in the world are you doing? Why would you go this route? So I sat there for a second and I said, okay, here's what I'll do. I'll let them take me out to dinner. And I'll listen to them and I'll pray. And if I feel like God is moving me in this direction, then we'll say yes. So I tell Tiffany, call your dad, tell him we're going to go out to eat. So we get to the McDonald's and we order off the dollar menu because we can get whatever we want, you know, and that fruit and yogurt parfait that Rochelle's like, here you go, Colin. Make sure you say yes. It was the God has a way of ruining your plans in your life and making it better. Mm-hmm. I would have never chosen that path. And it is probably one of the greatest adventures I've ever had in my life.
Amen. I want to say this as a part as we're moving through. You're going to see a lot of cool pictures on the 26th as we go back and reminisce some on the 26th. But today, just so you know, this is a very unusual thing that's happened here at NEC. It's how we continually know that God is for us and with us. Half of our launch team is still with us today, and that doesn't happen at all. So half our launch team is still with us in this ongoing journey and adventure. And I want to step back now to the youth time as we've made the ask. They're getting ready. Children's, of course, we're trying to figure out how to do children's church in the theater, which was interesting. I mean, just trying to figure out anything. I want to tell you, I'll say it again next week, but our first shot at doing church planning in a theater, which would be next week, would have been the first time we did it, was an absolute train wreck. I mean, after that, we were all ready to quit. It was like, you know, let's go do something else. It was an interesting. But God was with us, and we kept persevering, and God was faithful to us. But everything, the first 14 months after we launched, we were doing everything in our home for the pre-launch. Then after we launched, everything was in our home for 14 months. At the end of 14 months, we had to replace our flooring in the house, which was not in the budget when you're planning a church on a personal level. But for 14 months, everything was in our house. The band practiced in our house. The youth met in our house. We won't mention a few things got broke during those seasons, and I won't blame Alex for any of it. So everything's happening in the house for 14 months. So tell us about the beginning first, Tiffany, about Fusion Kids, and then Colin, tell us about the initial time of launching Core 517 Student Youth Ministry in the house. Tiffany?
So it was really exciting. Again, we didn't have, you know, much money at that time, so you had to get, it forced us to get really, myself and my team, to get really creative in how we presented, because we didn't have like the props and all that kind of stuff that we were able to do later on. So we had to get creative in how we presented, because you know how kids are, they've got the attention span of a gnat. So, you know, you're just kind of like, okay, what can I do to engage them? So we were able to do like a prize table and stuff like that, and everything. And so we would do music that first, you know, the first week they were all just kind of sitting there like, okay, yeah, this is, what are you doing? You know? So it was new for everybody, but over the course of time, we just, Brandon was, Lane, he's no longer with us, but he, helped, and he was really good with the kids, and he would do different voices and fluctuate, you know, he was kind of like a mini Matt. And, and so, but we would just really just pour into their lives. It was like, I want them to know what they learned when they leave. And that was like our goal, is to, if someone asked them, what did you learn today, they'd be able to tell you. And so that's kind of where we went with it. That was kind of our vision, was to make sure that they knew that they were not only learning about Jesus, but that they could tell you what they learned about Jesus.
Let me interject something she said. That was the vision from the moment we launched the church, that the kids would have fun, but they would learn. To this day, it is the same. I ask children every Sunday, especially children who are guests, I'll ask them, did you have fun? They always say yes. Their eyes light up. I said, what did you learn? And they can tell me what they've learned. We are not a Disney World here, so if you want your children to have fun and learn about Jesus Christ and the Bible, this is a good place to do it. Amen.
It was difficult, I would say. It, being in the house was weird, and not because...
Oh, and we weren't there. We lived at Starbucks for 14 months. So.
Yeah, so yeah. Not only did we have full reign of the house...
it was difficult because I knew if something got broken or they messed up anything, Mom would kill me, and so
absolutely.
I was constantly just like... Don't move. Sit down. What are you doing? Quit going in that room.
And I learned your mom shopped day by day for groceries, because there was never anything in the refrigerator. Not that we wouldn't have eaten it all, but it was weird. It was being in the house. Now, just give you an understanding, I didn't go to school for any of this. I wish I'd gone to seminary. I wish I'd done all this and that. Corey and Rochelle, they literally called me out of the murk and just said, look, I think this guy can do this. They had faith in us, and I didn't want to fail them. So I stood in front of all these kids, and they're all staring at me. And I'm like, well, are they going to say something? Because I don't know what to say. What do I say? What do I say to a bunch of kids? I mean, they're all punks, you know, and they're all staring at me. And I remember, I think I did the best sermon I could possibly think of, which I have no clue what it was. The only thing I remember is one of those first nights we circled up, because we would always circle up and ask if there's anything that we can pray over. And I remember one little girl looking at me and going, can you pray for my family? I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, this is ministry. I can do this. My brother and his girlfriend, they're trying to get pregnant, but they keep fighting and they just keep running out on each other. And I just want them to be able to have a baby. Can you pray for that? What part of the Bible is this? What part of the Bible is this in? What part? I said, you know what? We're just going to say that God's will be done in this situation. We had so many lost kids that had no clue. No, they had zero Bible knowledge coming into a youth ministry where I'm sitting here and I'm like reading everything I possibly can in the Bible to try to figure out how to do this. It was scary and it was weird, because you're inviting kids into a house. So when you're like, hey, would you like to invite your kids over to our youth ministry? Yeah, where do y'all meet? In a house. They're, oh. Are there parents there? I'm like, I'm an adult. We can do this. So it was scary and weird, but it worked out.
Yeah. They grew so much. Now, we're having church in the theater, but we didn't have any other place to meet. They grew so much in the house that we had to clear out the garage so they could have more room to range throughout the house. And I found some of the old photographs mm-hmm. of all the kids, and many of them married today and everything. But it was an interesting time. I know that when all the kids would leave, Rochelle and I would walk around through every part of the house looking to make sure everything was okay. You know, it was just one of those seasons of time and what we did. Tiffany, share with us some big wins, both, you know, whether it's one or two from children's ministry time and through youth. A couple of big wins to you.
Well, one of the big wins I'd say from children's church was, this would be the biggest win I think of any of it, would be watching kids, you know, give their hearts to Jesus and not just doing it, you know, like you do sometimes when you're a kid every Sunday, you know, right. But like, honestly, like knowing what it meant to give your heart to Jesus. And so that was always super exciting and, you know, would make us kind of tear up a little bit because they gave their hearts to Jesus. That, and then watching some of the ones that started out in kids ministry, like Taylor Gray, when we started children's ministry, she was in, well, she's not gray now, but she was in children's ministry, I want to say fourth or fifth grade. So watching her grow from being in children's ministry, growing through youth ministry, and then now doing what she's doing today for God. And then some of the big wins from the youth ministry was watching some of them grow and go on to do, like Alex. I mean, she started out, she didn't even want to be there. And kind of made that known. And we were like, oh yeah, well, we're just going to love you and show you how awesome we are, you know? And then watching her grow and go from being shy to leading worship for our youth band on Wednesday nights. And then preaching some, and then even she helped lead worship for the church at one point too. So just seeing that like growth of with different ones, then seeing some of our kids that got married and had babies and still come back to Pastor Colin and I for advice and just, hey, I miss y'all. And so just still, even though, like, same thing with Alex, we still are able to pour into her life. So just like some of the kids that from the very beginning, you know, when they got out of our youth group, we thought we're never going to see these kids again. And then they'll call us, hey, I'm getting married, I want you to do the wedding, you know, and stuff like that. So you still get to pour into them as they're an adult. And that's probably the biggest takeaway for me. From the beginning up until now.
Colin?
Yeah, I would echo that. I don't know how many weddings I've done for our former our kids. And I'll call them kids throughout the entire... The moment you get into our youth ministry, you're my child. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We may not always agree. We may argue. We may fight. But you are my child, and you always will be. And that means when you leave here, you are always my child. Because I FaceTime with one of my children while she's in France, which was fun. A couple of our daughters that we've adopted throughout life, they show up at our house, they eat all of our food, they ask all of the advice, and
they bring their babies,
and, you know, so we're these pseudo-grandparents of sort, which is crazy. I want to say probably one of the most memorable wins is I'm going to make Alex cry here, but Aliette and Matt came to youth, and Corey, again... Very early in the ministry, I'm freaking out because I don't know how to do this, and I'm very subconscious about, am I doing this correct? Corey calls me and he's like, hey, I got these two people that are going to be showing up to youth tonight. They both went to ministry school, and they both were youth pastors, and so they're going to be there to introduce you to their children. And I'm like, why would you put that pressure on me? What are you doing? Why are you doing this? So Matt and Aliette, they show up, and then they start, you know, they're being just kind and nice. And, of course, Matt and I, we match immediately. It's a match made in heaven. And we're talking, and their daughter, Alex, is there. And Pastor Corey had preached a sermon series, and he's mentioned it several times already, about the big ask, that you're not going to be able to to get it unless you ask. And sometimes you just have to boldly go out there and ask for things that you may never have thought you would ever be able to get, but you just got to ask anyways. And so I'm shaking. My hands are shaking because here's this new girl. I don't know her. Her parents were preachers and pastors, and oh, what will they think of me and all this kind of stuff. But we're going to this event called Acquire the Fire. It was Ron Luce Ministries. It was in Dallas that year, and we had an extra ticket. And I wanted to ask Alex if she would go. And so I walk up, and I'm, you know, you ever heard that phrase about a duck on water? We're on the top. It looks really cool, but if you look underneath, the feet are going 900 miles per hour. Total duck on water. I walk up to Alex, and I'm being all, you know, youth pastor cool and stuff. And I'm like, hey, we got this thing called Acquire the Fire. And inside I'm screaming, oh, my gosh, what are you doing? Would you like to go? And she stares at me, and she just puts her little fist up to her hands, or her little fist up to her face, and she, I don't know. And Aliette boldly, yes, she will. Yes, she will love to go to that. She will go, what do you need from us? And I'm like, oh, that was easy. Okay, good to go. So that was it was an event we're at. There's worship music going on very last night. And I look around, all my kids, and all of them are sitting there, and they're swaying back and forth and whatnot. And I look down the aisle, and there's Alex. And with every single kid standing around her with their hands in their pockets, some had their eyes closed, some of them were feeling the worship. Alex is there with her hands raised high, their head up to the sky, and she is full into worship. And I just fell absolutely in love with that little girl at that moment. It was probably that, Miss Gray, that set it off, that whatever I'm doing, it's God ordained. I shouldn't worry. Because if God's in it, then it doesn't matter. If I mess up, God can't mess up. And he kind of proved that to me that night. And we sat there, and I just don't... That's probably one of the biggest wins. One brings me back every single time. I doubt every single time we have kids up here and they're, oh, I can't believe you'd say something like that. The Bible says this, and we argue and stuff like that, and I feel just dejected. I always go back to that moment. Mm-hmm. And I could still see it. Purple lights, Alex with her hands raised up, head back, and I'm just like, God, that's what you put me here for.
Yeah. And I remember having the vans at the house. Remember everything's happening at the house. And I remember Alex showing up like a, you know, a deer in headlights, you know, showing up. So it was cool to hear the testimony later on about what happened at that. And you make a point that here at North Elevation Church, one of our core values is we're all about the one.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're all about the one. Yeah, that's what's important to us. Colin, with the time that we have left, I'm going to quote our verse that God had given me way back. It's what we call the youth core 5:17. It comes from 2 Corinthians 5:17. It was part of the vision God poured into me, and you took hold of that, and you and Tiffany ran with it. Verse 17 says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and the new life has begun, and became a very foundational part of building the core 5:17 student youth ministry here at NEC. So, Colin, with the time we have left, would you share with us about how we're going to reach our generation and about the next generation reaching them and the importance of all that?
Yeah, absolutely. Chris, I'm going to put you on the spot real quick. If you can, look up in the ESV, Romans 12:2. So Core 5:17 is, like Pastor Corey said, based off of 2 Corinthians 5:17. In Christ, we're new creations. One of the versions says, the past is gone, only the new remains. And that's something that we really push to our youth, is that a lot of kids come in with baggage, and you're like, oh, yeah, they must be seniors in high school. Nah, man, seventh graders come in carrying baggage. Seventh graders come in, and they're hurting because they're being called gay at school, or they're being bullied, or they had a rough life at home. We've had some kids that came in whose parents didn't want them to come to youth because you don't need to waste your time with that Jesus stuff. But a friend brought them, they got love and they got acceptance, and they wanted to be there because they found us to be more parents than their parents were parents. And it's not us, our place, to take that parent's place, it's just that's what they felt. And Wednesday nights, for 90 minutes, they felt more secure in that time frame than they did for the rest of the week at home. So we have to constantly remind these kids, when we accept Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean that your life is just going to turn into roses. But everything that you have dealt with in the past is gone. You don't have to carry that burden anymore. Now, the scars will still be there. The pain that you're fighting through will still be there. The issues that you're dealing with will still be there. But there's a new hope, and that's in Jesus Christ. And we continue to push that over and over and over. The past is gone. Only the new remains. You are a new creation. This past week or a couple of weeks ago, we got to sit down and have dinner with our youth leaders. And we really talked about, what does that verse mean? And Rachel brought up a very good point. One of our scriptures, which is Romans 2:12, which is, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you'll know what is good in God. And that's okay, guys. You don't have to. I remembered it. And when we look at that scripture, it says, do not conform to the patterns of this world. So follow me on this one. So Saturdays at our home, if we don't have anything going on, Saturdays is football Saturdays. We are a football family. We sit and we will watch college football games from 11 a.m. till 10 o'clock at night. I mean, it is just part of our ritual of being football fans. Maybe we're a little obsessed. That's okay. If you come over to the house, we're cooking out, there's a football game in the background. If you come over and you want to chit-chat, great, there's a football game in the background. We may not even be watching what's happening. There's just a game on in the background. It's just part of who we are. So last night, we get done watching the Clemson-Georgia game. Great, great football game. Tiffany goes to bed. She takes Felicity to bed. And I'm sitting on the couch, and I'm watching my phone, and the news pops on. And normally I turn it off, but I just kind of let it roll. And this woman gets up and she starts talking about the abortion law that just got passed in Texas, the heartbeat law. After 6 weeks, you can't have an abortion once the heartbeat is be able to be found. Love it, love it, love it. Well, the world doesn't. And so here's what the news story said. Well, this doctor, a doctor of women's health, says that, and they start interviewing this woman, and this woman gets up there, and she's a doctor, and she says, yes, abortion rights, they're just, you know, this and that. She goes on, she says, you know, all of these things happen. I had to go do 38 emergency abortions before the law was passed so that these women could be freed from the burden that was on them. And I sat there, and I'm watching TV, and I'm like, that's what you think? That you just took away pain from 38 women? You just murdered a child and you added more pain to them. And I'm watching this and I'm like, dude, this is on my local news. And as I'm pondering all of this, as it's going through my head, news is going on. They're talking about the cold front. By the way, do y'all know we're getting a cold front today? About 2 degrees, it's going to drop off. They were so excited that they did a 20-minute weather thing about 2 degrees drop off. But, you know, we may see a shower. They're like, hey, the humidity is going to drop like 1%. So this is going on. I'm like, man, this is crazy. And my mind kind of starts going back to what I was doing on my phone. And I'm just pondering it in the back of my head. And I hear the words, and y'all probably heard this before. If you've ever been up late at night and your TV's just kind of running in the background, and then you hear, extra, extra, you know, Entertainment Tonight comes on, right? And they're like, and of course, immediately, it's just some dude or some lady behind a microphone, and they're like, the new movie, blah, 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 blah. And they're just going off and stuff like that. We are going to interview JoJo Siwa. I don't know what a JoJo Siwa is, okay? It's some little girl that dances, and she has a thing and whatever. But they were talking about Dances with the Stars and how JoJo's going to be on the next Dances with the Stars. Never watched that show a day in my life, but that's okay. You know, she's this little girl, and I'm just like, oh, that's cool. You know, they had a little girl on there, and she's just, yes, and absolutely, and I'm so proud because most of my audience is children, and I want them to know that it's okay. I have demanded that I will be the first person on Dances with the Stars that dances with another woman because that's acceptable, and that's how life goes, and I want all my children fans to know that. Excuse me. Do not conform to the patterns of this world. And if after watching a football game, the next 45 minutes to an hour of time showed me nothing but the patterns of this world. Now, here's the thing. You and I all sit in here and I say, the abortion bill passed, and everybody claps, yeah, 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 yeah. And I tell you, oh, JoJo Siwa, whatever that is, she wants to dance with another lady on Dances with the Stars. And you're all like, oh, man, oh. But what about people outside these doors? What about families who don't have those moralities? And what do they teach their children? Because those kids come into this youth ministry. And they live the patterns of this world. And so when we get up here and we say, Christ loves you, He loves you before you were even born. He created you in your mother's womb. And so when we talk about abortion, we're not talking about rights or my choice or anything along those lines. We're talking about a human being, their development, and the fact that God ordained them, regardless of situation, that is still a human being. Well, yeah, but Pastor Colin, what about rights? Because our children have been taught outside of the church. So it was important to us as pastors, as a youth ministry, to say, look, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed. Now, the word transform in the Greek is metamorpho, which we get metamorphosis. Okay? We all change. We change daily. We all change our clothes, right? You should be. If you don't, you stink. Okay? You change your style, okay? If you look at Pastor Corey now, and you look at Pastor Corey back in the 70s, he's changed his style, okay? That little pencil mustache that he had, man, perfect. So styles change. Different types of cars change. Your house has changed. You change things in your life. But when it says to be transformed, it's talking about a metamorphosis, okay? When you look at a caterpillar, you rarely think of a butterfly. You look at a caterpillar and you're sitting there and you're looking at it and it's a caterpillar. It eats leaves, it does some stuff, but after it's hibernated, after it's gone through this metamorphosis in this cocoon and it becomes this butterfly, it's a total change. We're not talking about changing your clothes or coming to youth and going, oh, okay, yeah, well, I like worship music now because you used to listen to heavy metal and I just rocked out all day. Guess what? So did I. But I still love worship music. But that's a change. But it's what's behind that music. That's the metamorphosis. That's the transformation. You can no longer be what you once were. And that's why it says in Christ we are new creations. We are transformed creations. When your kids come here, we are trying to give them biblical truth. And a lot of times, probably 100% of the time, that goes against the patterns of this world. And that's a difficult thing to do. Because they've learned and their friends tell them and everything is against us. And when we talk to them about, here's what God says. But that's unaccepting and that's hatred. That's homophobic and that's racist and you hate people. No. No, son, daughter, no. You're not listening. You're listening to what the world tells you about God. That's not your source. Your source comes from the Bible. Your source comes from the good news. Your source comes from Jesus Christ. If we can sit down and we can see what Jesus says about this situation, can we agree? This is what Jesus says about this situation, and now it's your opportunity whether to accept that or deny that. That's part of the transformation. Seeing biblical truth, understanding biblical truth. And that's a hard part because we're old people, okay? And we have young people that come in and they look at us and they're like, oh my gosh, you're probably going to die in a few years. Like, are you 90?
They ask if we walked with the dinosaurs sometimes.
Yeah, and look, just because I had a pet dinosaur when I was little doesn't mean you got to bring it up. But we try to make them laugh. We try to bring something that maybe sometimes brings a tear. We try to be relevant. But God is always relevant. And we will never fall away from that truth. And we've had kids that walked out of here and said, no, I that's not my truth. And that's right, it's not. You didn't write the Bible. You are not omnipotent. You are not God. But he was here before you even existed. And he knew you before your parents even named you. And he loves you as far as the east is to the west. There's no end to his love for you. And we will continue to pour that in to every single generation. Because kids like Alex, who are going to France, and she may be teaching, but she has a heart for God. Jaden, Victoria, both were in our youth group. They're up here every Sunday leading worship. When you sow into the next generation, it sometimes takes a while for the fruit to show up. One of the goofiest things we had, I'm honest with the kids. I will tell them from the very beginning. I will be honest about my past, about my drug use, about the womanizing that I did when I was younger, how sex was what I thought love was. And I'm honest with them, and I'm open. And I'm not doing that to say, well, look what I used to do. Now you can't do that, by the way. But look what I used to do. It's because those are the places that took me to my darkest paths. And I don't want them to ever have to walk down those same paths. And I remember talking to one kid about some stuff about how I was when I was younger. 6 years later, I got a phone call from him. And he says, hey, I don't know if you remember me. I'm Raul. And I have this situation. Do you remember that one time when we talked about, and as a pastor, you immediately go, oh my gosh, I have no clue what he's talking about, but let's just go with it. We'll go with it. Okay, yeah, absolutely, Raul. What are we saying? And he says and I'm like, oh yeah, absolutely, man. I know I'm going through that situation. I don't know who to turn to. And it just popped up in my head. Oh my gosh, I remember that one time in youth. Because when you plant a seed, sometimes it takes a while to sprout. That's what we're doing for the next generation. Not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So, bring your kids. Invite your neighbor's kids. Tell them there's candy in your car and kidnap them. Legally kidnap them. We ask the parents
snacks.
First. Yeah, we
always have snacks.
Look at this. I have snacks, okay? I ain't going anywhere without snacks, I'll tell you that. Okay, I will wilt away without food.
Teenagers can eat everything I buy in one Wednesday.
Oh, my gosh. We've bought stuff that's been like 3 months old sitting out, and they're like, are you going to eat this? And we're like, no. Can I have it? Yes. And they just eat it, and you're like, I need you to come to my house and just take care of all the stuff that's been sitting out for a month. Invite kids. We're starting this next Wednesday, okay? And I'll tell you this right now because I have some of my teens in here. We're going to have fun. We're going to laugh. We're gonna put the word out there. We're going to start getting our band set up. I think probably the first part of October, our teens that are going to be volunteering to be part of our youth band are going to start playing on Wednesday nights. We're going to rock out. I don't know what that's going to look like or sound like. And you know what? Doesn't matter because it's not for me. It's for him. So he can figure that part out for me. J- just come. The experience is one thing, but what God puts into it, it's unimaginable. So if you know a teen, bring them. That's what I got.
Amen. With that said, we need to all cast the net all around. Yeah, give them a hand. We need to all cast the net around us. Don't let your age tell you that, well, I can't connect with a teenager. There's a lot of teenagers wish somebody your age would connect with them. And so I would encourage you to start looking around your world. And if there's teenagers, tell them about Core 517. Because they will find life here. And you need to send them here. Because we're all about the one. And they'll find out very quickly how important they are when they come here. You're wondering why we're starting youth again and band again. You know, there was such a thing as a COVID season. So we are relaunching a lot of things that coming out of the COVID season. So I'm going to ask everybody to stretch your hands towards Tiffany and Colin. They lead our youth ministry. And towards Tiffany, Rachel's a part of it, Victoria, others in here. But they have to lead. And so let's pray for them. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and we thank you, God. We thank you, Lord, for that memorial stone of that day when they said yes. And Father, that is a constant reminder to all of us that that yes turned into season after season after season after season of blessings. So that the next generation would know that you're a faithful God. Lord, we thank you for strengthening Tiff and Colin and their entire youth team for this new and fresh season. As they launch next Wednesday night, going back out, reaching the teens of our communities through the ministry of Core 517 Student Youth Ministry. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Well, thank you for being with us. Next Sunday, we have a special guest speaker who's going to take us in to the second part of our anniversary celebration. Is we're going to be looking back at another part of the vision and what God called us to do. If you're a guest with us for the first time, we encourage you to stop by the Connection Center, pick up your gift bag, and also we have a connection card. Fill that out, whatever you're comfortable filling out, and we'll just make a contact with you, just let you know that we knew you were here. You don't have to fill out all the card, just what you want. We're not going to bombard you with phone calls, I promise you that. But with that said, let's go reach the next generation for Jesus Christ. Amen. You're dismissed.